you love the weather contrast that we can have in this country? Am I going to snow expected in upstate New York? And we're expecting probably the hottest temperature ever recorded this late in the year, either today or tomorrow. Anyway, hello everybody, it's Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is on the other side of the glass, and just seeing his smiling face gives me a lot of confidence as he produces and engineers our show. Midweek edition, October 26, 2016. We come to you from AM 1030 KVOI. Real strong signal. I was up in Phoenix a couple of days ago, and my goodness, we were hearing KVOI very strong, certainly in the Chandler area and all that area right up through Casa Grande, Eloy, 10,000 watts during the day. So real powerhouse there at KVOI, great signal. And but just as important, becoming just as important, is our live stream. That means the worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, which kicks you over to the fine website at kvoi.com. So between the over-the-air signal and live streaming, we've got you covered here on Buckmaster. And if you'd like to join us, and a lot of people do, when we have Dr. Victoria Mazes on monthly, she's very popular with our listeners. The live line number is 790-2040 for your calls, your questions, comments, and we still have some room for you on our Facebook page. Become a friend of Buckmaster. Just look up Bill Buckmaster, and we do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Now, the introduction for one of our favorite guests, Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine, is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that help solve America's health care system problem. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook. It's titled Women's Integrative Health, and she is also the author of very popular book, Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, and you can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. And let's welcome her now on the live line. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. Everybody's talking about limiting opioid prescriptions. A front page story on the Arizona Daily Star this week. Governor Ducey ordering the state's employee insurance plan and its Medicaid plan to limit narcotic painkiller prescriptions in an effort to cut the future drug addiction. And Arizona's not alone, is it, Dr. Mazes? States across the country are really looking into this problem.
Yes, we know that we have a really significant issue about opioid overuse and overdose and deaths. Deaths from overuse have quadrupled since 1999, and we got ourselves in this trouble. We got ourselves in this pickle because in the early 90s there was this movement to try to treat pain more aggressively, and we've overdone it.
What is an opioid?
Well, it's a class of medications that includes things like morphine and Vicodin and Percocet, and there are these various things that come originally from the poppy, you know, opium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, opium.
And so it's a whole class of medications, some that are taken directly from the plant and some that are synthesized and altered a bit to make them more potent or to make them last longer in the body. And they are very effective for acute pain, for, you know, you broke your leg or you mm-hmm. just had surgery. They really can help. But it turns out that often they're not that effective for chronic pain and can be addictive.
Morphine, of course, would have been the predecessor for this. Morphine's been around a long time. Did this then, this class of drugs, Dr. Mazes, evolve from morphine?
Yes, so you're absolutely right. I mean, we've known about the medicines that came from the poppy for thousands of years, really. But we've created a wide range of pain medicines that are related to morphine. Some are weaker, and we have created long-acting forms and forms that can be taken by mouth or transdermally or under the tongue, intravenously, intramuscularly. So there's a very, very wide array. And we have a lot of people who experience pain. So there was a movement to listen to the patient and understand that they're experiencing pain and prescribe these medicines, and there was a thought at that time that they weren't addictive, that if you had pain, that you needed pain medicine. And we have since learned, actually, that these medicines can be highly addictive.
Yeah, because wasn't there something that at a time where if you were in a lot of pain and you were to be given pain medication like an opioid, there was thinking that this would not be addictive. Am I on the right track here?
Yes, that's exactly right. That was part of our earlier thinking, and it has turned out to be incorrect. And so, the Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, recently sent a letter, sort of unprecedented, to every single physician in the United States and said, you know, essentially, we've created this problem. We have prescribed all of these medications to people, and we have created this problem with severe addiction. And it's because we did encourage people to be more aggressive about treating pain. We weren't being careful enough about other ways to manage pain. There was a lot of marketing by the pharmaceutical companies of these medicines, and we were taught that they weren't addictive. And so now the Surgeon General has asked that doctors become better educated about how to treat pain safely and effectively, and that includes, you know, some of the states' movements to limit, especially, you know, the first prescription of how much is given out, that we screen patients to see if they have some kind of opioid use disorder, and if they do, to offer treatment, and to be sure that we don't act as if people have some kind of moral failing if they have a problem with addiction, but rather to see it as a chronic illness that needs to be treated.
And we've heard these stories of even someone has a cavity perhaps filled, or maybe that they wouldn't get an opioid for that, but say a root canal or something,
right.
they'd be given. I've heard people tell me that they've been given a week's supply maybe for a root canal. It seems excessive, and maybe this will change that thinking.
Right. So some of these state regulations, Vermont as an example, is really suggesting that it be a very small number. Most people only needing a small number for a procedure like that, you know, the first day or two when they're in significant pain, and then afterwards being able to use other strategies. And I think that's where integrative medicine can be so incredibly helpful in this, is that people have pain, and so if we're not going to use opioids, what can we use, and what approaches could we offer up instead? And so the good news is that there are many other things that can help, things like acupuncture or mindfulness or physical therapy, ice, heat. There are many, many other strategies, manipulation, whether it's by a chiropractor, a massage therapist, physical therapy. There are many other approaches that can be brought to bear and that don't have the potential devastating side effects of becoming addicted to one of these medications.
How addictive are the opioids? Is the scale different for each individual patient on what they may, you know, their tolerance level? I think that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right that we are not all wired the same. And so You know, one person, for example, may take a pain medicine and experience maybe a little drowsiness related to it, or they may get constipated. That's a common side effect of an opioid. But they don't have any change in their mental status. You know, another person may actually become either, you know, euphoric or dysphoric, or really have a significant change in their brain function. And some of those are linked to the reward systems of the brain, which really can increase the potential risk of addiction.
Well, when we continue our discussion with Dr. Victoria Mazes, we're going to get into some of those, and Dr. Mazes outlined some of those alternative strategies. We're going to go a little deeper into that. What are some of your alternatives for dealing with opioids? If you would like to join in the conversation, and we hope you will, 790-2040. We'll be right back. It is the Buckmaster Show.
Patrice Ross with Oracle Ford. This fall is truck and SUV season. We've got 0% for 72 months on all F-Series trucks, or up to $6,250 cash back on top of our already discounted prices. And take our last 2016 loaded Escape Titanium. You can take a whopping $5,000 off MSRP. But the great deals don't end with the Ford Escape and F-Series pickups. You'll also find until the end of the month, the fast-moving Ford Explorer has $2,500 cash back. Couple these cashback offers or 0% financing for 72 months with Oracle Ford's already discounted prices, and you can't beat our out-the-door price. So call or take the short drive to Oracle Ford today and take advantage of our fall SUV and truck sale. At Oracle Ford, we have no dealer ads and no city sales tax. Oracle Ford, drive a little, save a lot. Call 818-FORD or visit the web at oracleford.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition. It's our monthly visit with Dr. Victoria Mazes, who is the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, and we are discussing a very important topic, and it is opioid addiction. As Dr. Mazes pointed out in the first segment, the Surgeon General of the United States is pretty much sent an unprecedented letter to all practicing physicians in this country, reminding them of the dangers of opioid and overprescribing them. Dr. Mazes, this presents a difficult situation for those that are in pain. As you pointed out, there are some strategies, and that's what I want to zero in on in our next segment here. Where does one go if they don't want to, well, no one, I assume no one wants to become addicted to opioids, but what are the alternatives?
Well, there are many, many alternatives, you know, and they range from other systems of medicine, like traditional Chinese medicine and using acupuncture, or visiting someone who's trained in manipulative medicine. So that could include a chiropractor or a massage therapist or someone who does Rolfing or other kinds of deep body work that can be helpful. Sometimes doing those things yourself in a supervised yoga class or doing Tai Chi, physical therapy can make a difference. There are mind-body approaches, which can include things like hypnosis and guided imagery. And we are different. You know, some of us do better with one therapeutic approach and some of us do better with another.
Well, I can speak from personal experience. Recently, had acupuncture treatment for what is commonly referred to as tennis elbow. I don't play tennis, but most of the and as you know, Dr. Mazes, most of the people who get tennis elbow are not tennis players. But I went through what turned out to be 7 to 10 treatments, and it was very effective in dealing with the tennis elbow. It doesn't happen overnight, though, usually, the acupuncture, relief.
So, you know, a few points about that. You know, one, thanks for sharing that personal story. Acupuncture usually will need more than one session for it to be of benefit. And I usually tell my patients a minimum of 8 sessions.
Yes.
To see. The nice thing about acupuncture is that often, in addition to the particular problem, in your case, the tennis elbow, it often is overall relaxing. And a lot of times when we're in pain, especially chronic pain, we tense up. We tense up all of our muscles. We tense up around the particular area that's in pain. And so a therapy that's relaxing can be great. In Tucson, we are lucky enough to have community acupuncture, which is very inexpensive. It's as little as $15 a session, and so that makes it more accessible because, you know, one of the things we have done as a healthcare system is that we have paid for opioid prescriptions and medical procedures and surgeries, but we don't necessarily reimburse for acupuncture or mind-body therapies or massage. These aren't as well integrated within our current healthcare system.
I have also had experience with manipulative medicine and for like a crick in the neck or a pain in the neck. It is very effective. At least it was in my case. And that's another approach, isn't it?
Yes, and not just in your case. There's actually a lot of research and many studies that show that manipulative medicine, on whether it's chiropractic or from an osteopathic physician, can be helpful, especially been studied in lower back pain. This is something that we could better integrate into our systems. In Oregon, they actually have advocated for an integrative initiative. It's called the Oregon Pain Management Commission's integrative initiative, and they are now requiring that integrative therapies be available for chronic pain, and that is to include acupuncture, massage, manipulation, yoga, supervised exercise, and physical therapy. Another impressive change, you know, when we think about what's happening nationally, is that the VA is now moving away from a strict reliance on opioids as the way to manage chronic pain to a more comprehensive care program that also includes acupuncture, yoga, mindfulness meditation, and physical therapy.
The supplements, there's been a lot of research done on the on various supplements that can help with pain. Perhaps we could talk about some of those.
Sure. So there are a few strategies. You know, one is a more general anti-inflammatory approach, because some pain has inflammation at its mechanism. Not all, but it's not uncommon. And so if inflammation is the mechanism, then things that reduce inflammation, which could include omega-3s, such as in fish oil, and you're going to want to get at least 3 grams a day of the EPA and DHA, so you have to read labels carefully. Also, turmeric, you also want a sufficient dose of that as an anti-inflammatory that can be helpful. But there are other strategies. For example, magnesium is a smooth muscle relaxant, and so often that helps the muscles relax, and sometimes people will take that before they go to sleep. It helps them sleep better and can relieve their pain. Anytime we sleep better, of course, we're going to be in less pain.
And a lot of people have issues with knees and with their hip, especially as they age. It is interesting, and it almost sounds counterproductive, but you would think that movement might aggravate it. But actually, if you get up and move around, that can actually help by exercising, can't it?
Yes, it can. And one of the things we have learned is that with chronic pain, you know, as we strategize with people, we don't want them to overdo, because we know that if you overdo, you can flare up the chronic pain. And so one of the things we do to work with people is to figure out how much activity and to gradually increase it, but, you know, to be careful of the flares. The other thing I'd say is that for joint pain or arthritis, there are some other dietary supplements that can be helpful, things like SAM-E, S-adenosyl L-methionine, can be very helpful for arthritis, but also actually for depression. So, you know, sometimes when you can't move, sometimes when you're in pain, you also end up feeling depressed. So SAMe can sometimes be a choice for both of those issues. Glucosamine or glucosamine and chondroitin can be very helpful for some people who have arthritis pain in their knees or hips. And so there are a number of things that can be brought there that are helpful and yet don't have the potential for addiction.
And I think we should circle back here for the people who have become addicted from the opioids. What is now... what are their choices? What are the strategies for getting off this stuff, Dr. Mazes?
Well, that can be quite difficult, which is why the Surgeon General has really asked us to focus on preventing that from happening to begin with. But as an example, the VA just studied a new program that's called IMPAT, which is Improving Pain During Addiction Treatment. And what they did is they worked with people who had substance abuse disorders, including related to opioids, and chronic pain. And they used two different modalities together. One of them was cognitive behavioral therapy, which is really a way of monitoring your thoughts and addressing negative thoughts and reframing. And the other was an acceptance practice, where you would accept, you know, that your body might express some pain, and, you know, how could you therefore manage that, as opposed to perhaps expecting it all to just, you know, go away with a pill.
Has that been effective?
Yes, it was found to be effective. It was studied over a 12-month period at the VA in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and it was found to be significantly effective. And, you know, this is in some ways one of the harder situations where someone has a substance abuse disorder, which precludes the use of any opioids, and at the same time has pain that has to be managed.
It's a very complicated issue, but
yes.
Integrative medicine really coming into its own, isn't it, right now around some of these headline issues? Really,
yes.
Is. Yeah.
And it's really recognized as one of the successful and kind of shining lights, a direction that we could take to address this critically important issue for the public.
Where can we find out more about you and what you do at the Integrative Medicine?
Well, our center has a website. It's azcim.org, so Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine.org. And also, if you're listening to this and are interested in knowing more, there's a textbook called Integrative Pain Management that has been published by Oxford University Press. That's sort of more directed for health professionals. There are also many lovely books that can address, you know, these different areas such as mindfulness meditation or inflammation for people who are struggling with chronic pain.
Dr. Mays, it's always a pleasure. We wish you very well. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mays, it's always a pleasure having her on this program. The woman has just such wonderful knowledge of the healthcare field and always produces some great information for our listeners. You can find out more at Victoria Mays, MAIZESMD.com. Be right back.
Fiery chili, decadent chocolate, enduring traditions at Tohono O'Toole's annual Chilies and Chocolate Festival. Enjoy culinary demonstrations, Day of the Dead face painting, live music and local art Friday and Saturday, October 28th and 29th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Throughout the gardens, vendors feature Day of the Dead-inspired crafts, chili roasting, chocolate and culinary tastings, and more. Tickets are $15 for general public and $5 for members. For more information, visit tohonochule.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, we'll talk with Congresswoman Martha McSally, plus our monthly visit with Comet Discoverer and Sky Watcher extraordinaire Dr. David Levy. Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice AM 1030 with live streaming podcasts and show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show, and with this record-breaking heat here, I'm back to a summer watering schedule. Folks that listen to the show know that I love to garden, and this is almost like July watering for me. You got to water those plants in the morning and at night when you get up to these kind of temperatures. It's crazy. Speaking of gardening, green things, Jan and Jack, the owners, they took 4 acres. Original 4 acres over there. They've expanded it to 13. What a beautiful property at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. The website is greenthingsaz.com. Go to the website, check it out. They've got the information on the weekend free seminars, gardening seminars. The topics will be listed there for Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Once a month, we bring in David Safir. David writes about education for The Range, which is part of the portfolio of the Tucson Weekly. And that is, of course, TucsonWeekly.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
I was mentioning that I've been around, what, almost 30 years here in this market. I've never seen a nastier campaign than the TUSD school board election. That was one of the reasons, at least on this show, we're sitting it out. There's plenty of other shows that have just been hammering on this. But for my particular show, I've been covering other races. And I know you've been writing about the race because, you know, it's one of your obligations to do
sure.
So. Yeah.
And I agree with you about the nastiness of the race. And I'll tell you, all the way down the line, national, state, local, I can't wait for this election season to be over. It's really been a spectacularly anxiety-producing. Psychologists and psychiatrists are even talking about the stress level of people coming in about this election. But the one thing, Bill, that, and I agree with you about not talking about the TUSD election, mm-hmm. but I can't not express my opinion. So I'm going to tell you who I picked as the three people who I think are best to vote for. And then if you want, you can go and get more details on the range. So I had said that the three people I think are best to vote for are Crystal Foster, Cam Juarez, and Betts Putnam Hidalgo. Now, I'm not going to give the reason, but if you go to TucsonWeekly.com, click on the range, you'll see a post that I just put up, which begins "For Buckmaster Listeners," and it links to a rather lengthy post where I explain my views and we're done. That's it.
Yeah, and for those who say, well, what about the other side? I guarantee you next Thursday when we have our monthly showdown, which features Sean McCluskey and David Morales, they'll be giving their endorsements, and they'll be probably different than yours.
I'm certain that's true.
So, folks, you'll be hearing all of those endorsements next Thursday. I want to talk about something positive, though, in education, and it's the what is going on in the Scandinavian nation of Finland? They have decided that education is not only going to be a priority, David Zephyr, it's going to be a top priority.
Well, we talked about this last month. You were reading a book that talked about
it.
I've read a lot about it. So I went back and did some research on this and checked. And I need to give people some background. You know, Finland is a little country, 5 or 6 million people. It's near Norway and Sweden, places like that. And it's the only country in Europe that competes regularly with the Asian countries in terms of the international tests, in terms of scoring that high, which seems kind of strange. Mm-hmm. Nobody else comes as high. Sometimes they even top the Asian countries. And the Asian countries are very, very hard-nosed. They have centuries and centuries and centuries of traditions of education and testing and things like that that are part of their culture. And they're hard to beat on that. And yet Finland, somehow or another, has come into the same ballpark. So it's been studied a lot. It really has. So what happened was in 1970, they decided they were going to change their educational system. Just they said we weren't doing it as well as we should. It was kind of a garden variety system. And there are all kinds of places to start. But as a teacher, I'm going to start with teachers. So how did they pick their teachers?
Well, to be a teacher in Finland, you have to be not only motivated, but very good.
Well, if you want to get into a teaching program in Finland, you better be the top 15% of the applicants. Top 15% of the applicants. Somebody said it's as hard to get into those programs as MIT here, and that might be an exaggeration, but here we have vacancies all over Tucson, all over Arizona, all over the country in schools. They don't have that problem in Finland. 85 out of 100 people who apply don't get in.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do when you want to be a teacher? You've been accepted. You have to get a master's. You're not going to start teaching before you get a master's. And that sounds like an awful lot of education. Sounds awfully expensive, like you're going to be saddled with loans. Well, no, not really, because the education is free and they actually give you a living stipend. In other words, here's some money so you can live while you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is becoming the best possible teacher you can be. So you spend a lot of time on research, independent research. You are doing something which they call a thinking curriculum, where you're supposed to think about this. You spend a full year at a university-based school for kids where you're not a teacher, but you're there learning about teaching. You get to try it out and see what other people are doing. By the time you get in the classroom, you've spent time in front of kids, you've seen master teachers, you've tried and failed and tried and succeeded and tried and failed, and anybody who's a teacher knows how often you fail when you're trying to learn things. And then you're pretty much let go in the classroom. The principal isn't always on your case. There's not a huge Common Core curriculum. They say, we trust you. You know what you're doing. You set up your curriculum.
Wow. You're on your own in many ways.
Yes and no, because you spend a lot of time talking to other teachers in the school. In Finland, here teachers, I don't know exactly how many hours they spend in the classroom, but in Finland, approximately half their time is outside of the classroom, teachers. For study, for research, for meeting with other teachers. Even they're encouraged to go to other schools and talk to teachers at other schools so they can share their knowledge. They're not in competition with one another. The idea is everybody's supposed to do the best they possibly can.
Could that work here?
You know, it's a very tough question, Bill, and Finland is a very different place from where we
are. Small population compared to America.
And fairly homogeneous, though, to be honest. Since they've done this, they've narrowed the gap between the richer and poorer kids. And even now they're getting a fair number of immigrants from, say, Middle Eastern countries and things like that. They've narrowed the gap there, too. They're succeeding at that level. But you can't do it straight here, but it's good to know that people are doing something else. Let me give you another example. We right now have gone to this extensive system of testing, not only testing, but teaching to the tests and pre-tests and pre-pre-tests.
It's become the focus for learning in this country.
Let's say it's become an obsession. And a lot of people, including me, don't think it's a good idea. In Finland, no. None of that standardized testing. The teachers create their own tests for their own students. In the second grade, ninth grade, they give something that is just kind of a snapshot to see where kids are, but it's not school against school or teacher against teacher. It's just to get a sense of how things are going. And then the only thing that's truly a standardized test is a voluntary college entrance test that colleges can use to help them decide which students to accept. No testing. And yet somehow, miraculously, when they take the international test that everybody else tests, that some people prepare for within an inch of their lives, they do better than all these other people. I read a funny story, as a matter of fact, when I was researching this yesterday. In 2001, when they first did those tests, the international tests, Finland saw their scores, and a lot of people thought it must have been a mistake. They said, we're not teaching to that stuff. But the score must have been wrong. And then the next year, they kept on getting the same score and said, geez, by not teaching to the test and not teaching this heavily rote academic focus, but doing more on inquiry and thinking and projects, somehow we've created a population that is doing beautifully on the metric that other people use as well. It's kind of fascinating.
All right, I'm going to take Jim's call here before I take the break. Jim Kelly with us. Hey, Jim.
Hey, David, I think we found something that we agree on.
Do you have a bottle of something that we can split here? I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, way too much testing. I personally blame school districts, you know, being pressured into buying those, whether they be from Pearson or some of the other testing organizations. But, yeah, the testing, 3rd, 6th, 10th grade, that's it. That's all you need, which was one of the foundations of Common Core. Now, I know you guys don't like that name, but the reality of it is the Newtonian mathematics that were originally part of Common Core developed, the curriculum developed at the University of Arizona in the early 60s, was actually a good thing. And that, of course, has been thrown out because nobody likes this Common Core stuff. So you're right. We need to get to testing of larger things, of critical thinking, of observation, those kinds of things, and less A, B, C, D, fill in a bubble. So we finally found some room for
there
a
you go.
David.
Okay, David, hold your thought, your reaction to Jim's comment, because we are a little bit over the break. We'll be back 790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, I've got five kids and four of them are daughters.
Daddy, Daddy, there's a spider in my room.
Oh boy, did I get smart. I took care of the spider, but the smartest thing I ever did was call Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more bugs in a Lehman household. They do a great job. They're economical and environmentally friendly.
Five-star pest control. We know what bugs you.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org, and remember to always start with trust.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 51 minutes past noon in Tucson, Arizona. This portion of our program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, a great place to take a weekend road trip just 3 hours east of Tucson. Their university over there, it's a beautiful campus in downtown Silver City. It's called Western New Mexico University. Their museum there houses really the finest collection of Mimbres pottery in the United States. It's worth the drive alone to Silver City. You can find out the many things to do and the great places to stay by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico.org. You can visit us with a phone call at 790-2040. David Safir writes about education in the column that is known as the section that is known as The Range at TucsonWeekly.com. We've been talking about the way Finland ranks so high in international education.
Well, Bill, let me pick up from where the caller, Jim Kelly, left off, because he was talking about Common Core.
Yes.
There's almost no national curriculum that comes down from the top in Finland. They said that the entire national curriculum for math from the first grade all the way through high school is 10 pages long. Oh, and you know that 10 pages isn't enough to clear your throat in a government.
Are you kidding? In this country, yeah, in a government document, that would just be the introduction pages.
So let's look a little bit more at the kids and what they do. First thing is, every kid is going to get a free daily meal, not free and reduced lunch. They just give every kid a meal. Every kid is, there's not going to be a hungry kid in a classroom in Finland. Every kid gets free health care in the school. So you're not going to have any kids with health problems. They're going to be picked up right there and taken care of in their medical program. Obviously, they get free transportation. Sometimes that's a long way because Finland can be pretty desolate. Mm-hmm. And they get learning materials, a lot of counselors there. And This is interesting. We've been cutting out recess.
Mm-hmm.
They give kids in the elementary schools about 4 15-minute recesses a day.
Good.
And they're out there in the snow.
Good.
And you know it snows a lot.
Yeah.
And they're out there in the rain.
Uh-huh.
And the kids don't want to come back in. I don't care what the weather is.
Yeah.
And that's not considered simply frivolous playtime, but that's considered socialization and also learning time.
That's very good. Let's go to the live line. I believe Ingrid is with us. Hello, Ingrid. How are you?
Hi. This has been so interesting.
Thank you.
Would you mind, sir, reviewing briefly what the actual course content is for the teachers, and is the teaching technique in any way similar to the Montessori method? I keep thinking of Maria Montessori and her approach and her theories and so forth. Thank you very much.
Well, to be honest, since I'm not an elementary education guy, I don't know this thoroughly, but Montessori as we know it in this country is very different from Maria Montessori's idea that began in Italy working with poor children. Hers was very, very, very hands-on based and very prescriptive. In other words, you do this, then you do this, then you do this, then you do this to help these kids get through the stages. Our version here is much less that way. And the finished version isn't like that at all. The kids have lots of time to experiment on their own, working on different projects with different people in different parts of the classroom and kind of building on their own intuition and their own creativity and what they can learn from one another. So that is different.
Could you talk about the curriculum?
The curriculum for the kids or for the
curriculum for the kids?
Well, that's it. It's really, they say,
you're
not going to get teachers standing up and lecturing in front of the class. There's not, there's testing, but the testing tends to be more abstract with questions that kids give answers to as opposed to simply bubbling down or giving a one-question answer. And they're graded very, very carefully by the teachers, and when the teachers give grades to the students, they give a whole lot more feedback than simply grades. One thing I want to emphasize, because I want to make sure we don't run out of this time, kindergarten has been a big deal, and maybe we're going to have a chance to look at it here. Kindergarten in Finland is called preschool, and it's for 5 and 6-year-olds, and they don't teach them reading. Reading isn't taught until the kids are in the first grade, which is when they're 7 years old. It used to be, just a few years back, that the teachers were told, don't teach reading at all. Now they say if a kid shows an inclination, help them with reading if they wish. And they said a lot of the kids are pretty proficient by the end of that time, but that a lot of kids' brains aren't together enough in terms of all the synapses connected and whatever else it is to really capture that abstract idea of reading. And Finland is a nation of readers, possibly because it's so cold outside that they spend a lot of time inside. So it doesn't hurt them a bit, and the kids pick up reading very quickly when they're 7 years old. I don't know if it would work here, but it's interesting that one of the finest academic systems in the world says, don't teach reading until they're 7.
How about Ingrid? She wanted to know about the curriculum that the teachers go through get to be a teacher.
This didn't go into a great deal of background in what I've read, but they spend a lot of time researching teaching techniques on their own and bringing back their independent research to the groups, talking about them together. And I said one of the most important thing is that they're in a university-based school teaching kids in that school and working with the master teachers, working out a lesson plan here, experimenting. The teachers are encouraged to experiment, try new ideas, see if something works within the baseline of what's supposed to be done. And so teachers become, in a sense, already experienced teacher before they're on their own. It's not like the student teaching here, but it's a full year of working with some of the best academics in terms of teaching, connected with, I think, 6 to 8 universities around the country.
And, of course, Governor Ducey is talking about full-day kindergarten. The question is funding it.
Yeah, $200 million.
Right.
And when you think about that it costs $200 million to add a half day to kindergarten, and he made a big deal of giving $300 million for the whole K-12 system last year, it kind of puts that in perspective. I don't know what's going to happen. Ducey says he likes preschool. He likes kindergarten. He says they have great bang for their buck. And after he says that, he says, but sorry, we don't have the money to do it. It's a great investment, but sorry, we don't have money to do it. Well, Governor Ducey, you are a businessman, and you know if something is a great investment, you find a way to invest in it for the future profits. You don't do short-term profits and long-term losses, and I think he's just totally missed the boat on this.
All right. David Safir of The Range at Tucson Weekly, and you encourage folks to go there. There's a special note directed to Buckmaster.
Buckmaster readers, yes.
Buckmaster listeners. David, thank you very much.
All right.
Buckmaster Show each day here at 12:04 on KVOI. And Mike Shaw and Ray Allen, they'll get together at 4 this afternoon. They'll have their show together at from 4 to 5, then Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9. And soon, when the time changes, we'll add another hour of local talk from 9 to 10. So that's going to be talking culture and kind of a lifestyle show here on KVOI, and that's coming up after the change of time. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.